Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, you're very welcome to Audiovisual Cultures, the podcast that delves into different areas of film, media and the arts. I am your host, Paula Blair, and in this episode, I have a really fun and enlightening conversation with Jordan Lamb about studying art, developing a studio arts practice, and generally being creative and having a good time, having fun. Now, if you're one of our behind-the-scenes patrons over at patreon.com/AVcultures, there's a special treat in store for you because, as Jordan mentions, he likes to dress up for special occasions and he considers doing a podcast recording like this to be one of those special occasions. So for full video access to our conversation, to be able to see what Jordan is wearing, do join us at the behind the scenes tier and you can see for yourself. Massive thanks to our amazing supporters who are currently funding the website. Please do check that out at audiovisualcultures.com. Everything you need's there, and I updated it significantly back in May, so please do have a good browse around. There's loads more stuff there now. Big thanks as well to Joanna Leach for some lovely feedback. On the 17th of May in 2022, Joanna put in an Instagram story. Paula's podcast is full of so much heart and soul for the arts. Check out her episodes. There's something for everyone. I really appreciate that, Jo, and I hope those sentiments come through again in this episode with Jordan as we talk about creativity and love for the craft. Do enjoy. Gosh, wow, you look amazing with your banana on.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a banana. I've always loved bananas. You like bananas?
I do love bananas. They're a very special fruit, very special things in the world.
Yes, they are.
So how are you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I woke up today. I wasn't feeling that great.
Aww.
I think I'm a bit sick. But
oh, no.
I remembered I can't let pee down. You know, I just can't. So here I am.
That's very sweet. But if you're not feeling well, we can do this another time.
No, it's fine. I'm committed. All right.
You're committed.
I'm a banana. Yes.
You're very young as well. So you've got that on your side.
Yeah. That's true. Like, what gave it away?
I really appreciate it. Well, just let me know how you're doing. And if you're not feeling so good, we can pause, we can have a break, whatever.
Okay.
Just whatever you're comfortable with. Don't feel like you have to push through because that's not a good thing. I did a lot of pushing through when I was in my 20s and I burnt out catastrophically. So don't do that to yourself.
Okay. I'll let you know. I'll for sure.
If I can impart anything to the younger people, don't burn yourselves out. It's not fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I understand. I've burnt myself a couple of times and that did not feel good. So it's important to take breaks for sure.
So you're a very busy banana. You got a lot going on. Would you like to tell us a bit more about the banana? Is that all there is to it, what you said earlier, that you just love bananas?
Sure. Yeah, there's a deeper meaning, I guess. It just represents my creative and fun side and just attitude about having fun and not caring what anyone else thinks, because this, in a way, is a form of self-expression. Now, that is my artistic meaning. But I also really like bananas. So that is, when it comes down to it, you know, I just love bananas. That's it.
So you love dressing entirely as a banana?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is very personal. Don't worry if it's too personal. It's me going to weird places. But do you have things you wear underneath your banana suit? Do they also have bananas on them? Or is that very private?
Oh, no. No, I'm just wearing a regular shirt and shorts. Because, okay, the thing about the banana suit, right? It's kind of hot and stuffy. I can't even lie to you. I don't wear this every day, you know? I do it for important things, important events, you know, recording.
Oh,
or just when
privileged.
I feel like it, I guess. Yeah. I like to have fun.
Okay, so it's very hot in there. Whereabouts in the world are you, Jordan?
I am in Sarasota, Florida, in the U.S. of A.
I imagine that's quite a warm place.
Oh, it's really hot.
So you're already warm, and then you're putting a really hot thing on your body after that. So that is commitment. Right. I mean, we need to, right. I just need to stress the level of commitment we're talking about here.
Yeah. I mean, if AC did not exist, I would probably have a heat stroke by now. But, you know, I'm fine. So let's keep it going, you know, push forward.
I'm hoping some of that heat radiates over to me because it's springtime, it's late May, I'm in the northeast of England, and it's been very rainy and cold here. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm wrapped up, I've got big cardigan and stuff on because I'm dressing the same way as I was dressing most of the winter because it's really cold here.
Yeah. Wow, it's spring in England. It is summer here in Florida. That is interesting. Wow.
Yeah, well, we should be in summer, but it doesn't quite seem to want to just arrive just yet.
Okay.
But we're in summertime.
Is it always cloudy there in England?
The part of England I live in, it's actually a bit sunnier than some other places, but because of where I am geographically, we've got very cold air a lot of the year. The rain that we've had today is relatively rare. It's not as rainy as this usually. It's usually quite sunny, but cooler. I'm right beside the North Sea, which is a very cold spot on the Earth. There's a lot of Arctic and Nordic air coming down. So there's nice sunny weather can meet with a cold breeze sometimes. So it's a bit conflicted in this part. But if you go to the northwest, it's really cloudy, really rainy a lot of the time. Because it's on the Irish Sea side. It's a lot more humid on that part.
I see. Yeah, I want to visit one day.
And I've never been to the States, so I'm learning through people like you, you know, bumping into people like you on the internet. I'm learning loads about the United States. So it's great to be visiting Florida this time. I'm usually in LA or something like that on the internet. Okay. So Florida's nice. A different spin on things.
Yeah, you should visit if you like hot weather, beaches, Florida, wild news. I don't know if you've heard of the Florida Man, but there's a lot of stuff that happens in Florida that's pretty crazy. If you like hurricanes, I guess you would have a fun time here.
I think my associations with Florida recently are from The Good Place. You know, Jason Mendoza comes from Florida in The Good Place. So it's not had the most positive depiction. And then the Florida Project as well. So it's like this immense wealth besides destitution. So yeah, I haven't had a very positive spin on Florida yet.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but if you like oranges, that is what Florida has. That's positive, right?
Okay, but do they grow their own bananas?
I can't answer that, but I don't know, maybe.
Well, they don't really need to because they've got you.
Yeah, wherever I walk with the costume on, a banana just grows like from the ground.
So you do go out and about in it then? So you're saying you wear it for special things, but do you perform in it? Do you do your artwork in it? What do you do in the real world in your banana suit?
Well, that actually, you gave me a great idea. I should start doing that. I should actually use this to create artwork. I have a interesting relationship with this banana costume. I'm a very naturally competitive person. So when I get serious, I put on the costume and it just seems like everything falls into place and everything just works out for me. And then I win in the end every time. That sounds really weird, but it's like some people have their lucky charm, right? I have the banana. So I do graphic design. I'm studying to do studio art in the future. And when creating, I don't wear anything. Not like full nude, but like I wear shirts and shorts, you know, right? So I wear clothing, but not the banana suit because I need to be in a state of mind where I can just be free. I try new things. I think that's when you create the greatest work of art, when you are set with no limitations and you can go outside your own box. So don't like try to trap yourself inside a box or try to contain yourself in a cage. With all these rules, just experiment, whether it be to Photoshop or podcasting and everything. It all relates to one thing to another.
I was quite keen to learn more about your studies and what you're hoping to do, but you know what you are doing. And you mentioned podcasting and how that's linked with your graphic design. And you do make a podcast called Jordan Mode, is that right?
Yeah, yes.
It's quite fun. I've listened to a few episodes. You know, you seem to have conversations, so I've been a bit looser with you. I've tried to do mine tiny bit like the way you do yours, just go straight in with a conversation rather than a structured interview. It seemed a bit more appropriate to just try and just give people a taster of the kind of thing that you would do. And, you know, I felt very comfortable doing that because, you know, you turn up in the way that you do. And it reminds you, you don't have to be serious or professional about everything. And being creative and being a bit silly and a bit fun, it can be those things too. So I think that's a really nice reminder. But would you like to tell folks about your podcast?
Right. Yeah. So every time someone asks me when they or tells me when they listen to my podcast, I just find that kind of wild to believe. Like, you really listen to my podcast? That's funny, because I just spew so much random stuff, and I don't want to swear on this podcast because I feel like that would just...
Do whatever you're comfortable with, because I tend to try not to, just because I want it to be as inclusive as possible. But I do swear, and there are episodes where we do swear and we're maybe dealing with a topic where you're coding something or it requires it or it just slips or whatever. So just be comfortable. Just be yourself.
Okay. My podcast, Jordan Mode, is really just a journal for me, for talking to people, having great conversations throughout life. I started it in December of 2021. Or is that? Yes. Yes, I did. Okay. And every conversation I've had since then has really changed me into the person I am now. So it's kind of interesting to think that it's like a time capsule. When you look at episode one, you're like, oh, I was so naive. I was just a child. But then you're up to the current episode, and you're like, wow, what happened to me? This is wild. This is crazy. And I don't take myself too seriously. I just have fun having genuine conversations with people, because everyone has a unique personality and is different in their own unique way. You know, everyone is in a different walk of life and everyone's going through something different. So it's interesting to understand how they came to be, how they are, and you know what they're doing. And you can learn so much from another person. You can live through them vicariously. You can stay in touch. You can make a new friend. You know, relationships are so important. And I learned about that in a speech or psychology class. But either way, both those classes have influenced me a lot, because in speech, if I never took a speech class in college, I don't think I would be this outspoken and speaking for a long period of time. You know, I would just wait for the other person to respond, or I wouldn't be as outgoing as I am now. So I think definitely moral of the story, just be yourself, take classes if that interests you, and just be creative. That's Jordan Mode.
Brilliant. I really admire that about the American further and higher education system. I mean, there's a lot of issues in terms of how much it costs, and we're following that increasingly in the UK, but that you have these elective classes that you can do quite early on. Well, we just don't really have that. We don't have those tasters that you can do, or you can do this kind of class. And I think that's really fantastic that you can access something like that, because I think here people think that you have to be super focused on what your degree pathway is, and they don't realize the merits of learning about other things, like how much that informs what it is your pathway is, you know, that all these other things feed into that. So that's really cool to hear.
Did you go to college?
I did, yeah. I went to university. I've got 3 degrees.
Oh, wow. What degrees?
So my bachelor's degree was in joint honours English and film studies. So it's fairly traditional English literature. And I did a lot of Shakespeare, a lot of Renaissance literature, plays and drama. And I did some Irish literature and bits and pieces. And I did film studies, so fairly traditional film studies degree.
Nice.
You know, it was a lot of the old white European dudes, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't till I got into postgraduate studies that it got a bit more interesting, and so you can go your own way a little bit more and do your own research. And things really around that time were starting to open up a bit more, and people were going, I think other kinds of people make films as well, so maybe we could have a wee look at those. So it was starting to open out and get a bit more interesting then. I started watching, in my master's in film, I started watching a lot more Asian cinema and a lot more avant-garde from all over the world, and a lot more women filmmakers, you know, so it was just getting a bit more diverse and stuff. And then my PhD was film and visual culture, but it was, yeah, I was looking more at convergences between cinema and the visual arts more broadly. So I was looking more at video installation and live performance and mixed media work and that sort of stuff. So I really opened it out quite a bit.
Oh, wow. So you've always loved movies or films?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lifelong, yeah.
It's amazing. Wow.
TV and film, I think, has been a mainstay for me. Just, I've always been so attracted to screens, which isn't, you know, necessarily the healthiest thing these days, because our lives are just consumed by screen culture. Mm-hmm. The likes of a smartphone, I mean, that just was not a notion when I was a kid. So, you know, it's weird to me that so many kids are just almost born with smartphones in their hands these days.
Right.
I remember a time when it was just landlines and that was it. But movies, I think it's a bit like what you were saying earlier about conversations. I think movies are where I've learned about the world, and I've learned how to have empathy. I've learned about other people's stories, and I've learned about other different types of people. And because I grew up in such a very white place, and I was in the middle of a civil conflict as well as a young person. So we were so insular. We, you know, we knew about bits and pieces about what was going on in the world, but we were pretty focused on ourselves as well. It was a great escape. So it was a way of getting away from that, but also just learning, right, this other stuff's going on in the world. There's these other types of people. How fascinating is this?
No, yeah. Compared to when you were a kid, do you find that you're watching movies for the same reason?
I think so, yeah. I think learning from them is really important to me as much as being entertained by them. I don't expect to be entertained by a film, but I hope to learn something from it, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Right, like the cinematography and the shots, and the directing, how they...
All of it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a nerd about all that stuff.
Oh, are
even
you?
Though I know nothing about making films. Yeah, I can like... Every time I watch a movie now, I'm not looking so much as to be entertained. I'm more looking at the shots and like what the director wants us to see. Because if you watch like, I don't know if you watched the new Doctor Strange movie. I don't know if you're into those.
I haven't seen it. I'm really behind on the whole universe.
Do you know Sam Raimi?
Oh, yeah. I know who Sam Raimi is. Yeah, I know he's directed it.
Yeah, so his like his style of directing, like each... Back to what I was saying when everything's connected, right? Sorry, my brain is literally like a multiverse. You can tell it's a Sam Raimi movie,
yeah,
just by his style of directing. His like, he's really into horror, directed Evil Dead, right? So you can see aspects of that in the new movie. That's technically not a spoiler because he directed the movie. But it's also like you can tell what person created something, whether it's music, whether it's anything, whether it's movies, TV, animation, through any creative medium. You can just tell because it's their style, it's their personality, and they've woven that into their creation. And I think that's just chef's kiss, you know? So I love it.
Yeah, I'm a real nerd for that stuff too. Because I really loved his Spider-Man trilogy. A lot of people didn't maybe like it. And Spider-Man 2, I think it still stands up as probably one of the best, probably the best Spider-Man film of all of them. There's loads of Sam Raimi motifs throughout that film.
Yeah.
Loads of references, loads of horror inflections, you know, things that are really quite similar to the Evil Dead movies. Bruce Campbell, of course, getting the cameos and stuff. I love all that too. I love noticing that because it makes you, I think it makes you feel good if you love noticing that stuff, because it makes you feel quite clever that, oh yeah, I got it. That was for me, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I got that reference. Yeah, that was a good one. Yes. Sam Raimi, you sly dog. So when you notice these references, how happy does that make you feel?
I think these days it makes me happy because I went, I remembered something. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's partly to do with some other personal stuff and partly to do with just pandemic general trauma. But I've really struggled with remembering things for the past couple of years. And it feels good to just go, I remembered a thing from 15 years ago. I'm so proud of myself today. You know, so it can be as simple as that. You know, it'll just fire something in me. And there's something deep down. Because a lot of these movies when I was younger, I watched them on hard rotation. You know, they were comforting. Uh-huh. And the repetition means you notice something different every time. It's a slightly different movie every time because you notice something you didn't quite pick up on before. So there's I find a lot of pleasure in that.
Right. It's like a scavenger hunt. Like you're finding things in every frame, in every scene. Okay. I do like that too. I think that for me, I am so odd because I have a great memory. I can't even lie. It's so, in order for me to watch a movie more than once, it has to be really good. Because I remember the gist. I'm so like, I wouldn't say arrogant, but I feel as though once I've seen a movie once, I don't need to see it again. But that's not for all movies. There was a recent Marvel movie that came out. It was called Morbius. Yeah, that's a movie I'm never going to see again. Because it was, I thought it was bad. Not because I remembered it all, but...
It's time you won't get back, yeah.
Yeah, it's time you will not get back. And you could have spent your time doing something. That leads me to another question. Did you ever walk out of a movie?
I have done, yeah. There was one by, gosh, something just came from the recesses of my brain. I remember walking out of a short film that was being screened. I went to it because some early students of mine had made it, and you know, I went to support them. And it was the most misogynistic load of nonsense. Like, it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like these characters are like that. It was the film itself was misogynistic. So I think that's a real big distinction there. And I couldn't spend any more time in its company. So I walked out of that.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to think if there's any examples from you, something bigger or mainstream, or because usually I'll endure something because,
yeah,
you know, I want to give it the time. I want to give it a chance because I think going to see something, and certainly if you pay to go and see something in the cinema, that's very different from if you're at home and you're just not enjoying it and you give up in the theater. I think, I mean, I don't think I had since maybe I was a kid. And I was just bored with something. I don't think that counts as an adult. I don't think I've done that with a feature-length film.
Okay, so you have perseverance. I can respect that.
I'll try. You know, I'll try and see it through to the end because I think you can't really, with authority, say that was utter cack unless you got through it, because you never know what's going to happen in the last 20 minutes. You just never know. It might turn it around. You just, come on. Give it a chance.
Although I feel like if it was down to the last 20 minutes, that is such a rare thing for it to turn it all around.
I know.
I mean, there has been a movie recently that I did want to walk out.
Okay.
But I don't know how to describe it. It was, so I went with some friends. He slept the entire movie. So should just give you an idea. It was Fantastic Beasts 3.
Okay.
I thought that was so funny. But I really wanted to see how it ended, you know, because once you set up the whole plot, I'm one of those people who are just so focused on the movie. If I can't hear any distractions in the theater. So I just, but by the end, I should have just walked out. Everyone wanted to walk out. It just didn't make sense. The plot line didn't make sense. I'm not going to go into it, but you should watch it.
Oh, right. You should suffer through that, Paula.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying, you know?
Mm.
Right.
I haven't seen any of those films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me neither. I only watched the third one.
Oh, okay. So. Do you think that was part of the problem? Do you need to have seen the first two of those?
Possibly. But at the same time, it's like, if you really focus, if you really like focus on each of the character threads, like characters and the story threads, even to someone who's never seen the first two, I think you can come to a conclusion where nothing makes sense.
Okay.
You know, it just falls into place perfectly, like a dream, and dreams don't make sense. It's like that, where something just pops into fruition, even though it's a magic movie, like magic actually happens, right? So, but it doesn't make sense. I don't know how to describe it without spoiling it. I'm sorry, but yeah.
Do you think you're drawn to movies and stuff so much because of your graphic design interests? You know, you're drawn to the visuality of things and how images are put together. Do you think that's where things are linking up for you?
I've thought about that. Well, before I got into graphic design, as a kid growing up, I've always loved movies. So I guess, yeah, because I've always loved like visual stuff. You know, I played a lot of games when I was a kid. I always was fascinated by people creating these moving images. You know, it was so cool. Like, and I guess that's what sparked my creativity, my creative side, and wanted to make just graphics. I love movies, and my love of movies has played a part in my role in making graphic design. And it's also, like, spurred my love for other things. All forms of entertainment, really. It's almost like a gateway drug, really. Because once you start with one thing, you explore another, then another, then another. So, to answer your question, I suppose so. Yes.
If you find text useful with your podcasts, we've got two options for you. You can subscribe to Audiovisual Cultures Podcast on YouTube for captioned videos, and you can visit audiovisualcultures.com and click the transcripts tab. Both sites are linked in the show notes, along with information about this episode. What stage are you at in your studies? Like, how do you feel your studies are going at the moment?
I feel like I'm still a fledgling, like a young phoenix who hasn't been reborn yet. So this doesn't mean anything, but I am certified in Photoshop, which basically means you know how to use Photoshop. And I feel like I'm not at the level where I can design something as good as someone who's been using or studying or doing graphic design in the field for, I don't know, like 5 years or something. But at this point in my studies, I'm still young, but I still want to pursue this studio art thing and create art and up my skills, you know? Because I want to see where my potential lies. I want to create cool stuff. And then again, I'm still in the beginning stages, and you don't know where life's gonna take you. So I do want to transfer to another university to further pursue my degree there. So that stage will probably be, so is there like a level after fledgling but before fully reborn? That would be that.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
Preparing for rebirth, something like that.
Yes, like a volcano before eruption.
That's interesting. So studio art practice, so is this very practical things as well as computer-based creation?
It ranges from, last time I looked it up on Google, it was like photography, ceramics, graphic design, painting, all that stuff just encapsulated in a broad term, studio art.
And do you feel like you're zoning to particular things? Are you enjoying trying out different things? Are you still trying to find your way?
So the funny thing is, I've been using Photoshop, doing graphic design, the visual aspects, for not a long time. I've only begun in probably August 2021, but I love it. And it's really helped me just appreciate how artists create things, like visually. And I love videos and films, so that's really gotten me into trying out video editing and stuff. And I love photography too. I think it's cool. Plus, you could, So everything is connected, right? You could use Photoshop to edit photos that you took with a camera. And you can honestly, between video editing and graphic design, you can interlace the two things. You can edit, say, for example, you can edit something in Photoshop and then put it in Premiere Pro and then vice versa. And even with sound, the entire Adobe suite has, not sponsored by them, but they have this entire suite full of programs that you can use to do visual, audio, visual, and it's all connected. You can honestly change things between different programs, and that's wild. That's crazy. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think Creative Cloud is the dream if you can afford it. So while you've got access to it, use the hell out of it.
Because
it is really expensive when you're on your own. That's great. I know, I think a lot of people don't realize that a lot of photographs are edited. You know, a lot of professional photographs, things that appear in newspapers and online articles and even photography competitions, they are edited versions of the original image.
Yeah, of course. I feel like at this point, every time I look at a photograph, if it's not edited, it would have to be like a really just fresh, like I was next to the photographer, fresh. For that not to be edited. But yeah, I mean, definitely every photograph that's like in a contest, I mean, if it's not edited, why is it there? You know, like it doesn't look good.
Yeah, they do need, because by editing, I think we mean as well, it can just be coloring, you know, adding some coloration or just sharpening the lighting, or, you know, it can be just that kind of thing. And I think, we, you know, a lot of people don't realize that post-production and film visual effects can be that sort of thing as well. It'll take a very realist image and just tweak the color slightly and, you know, color grade it slightly or add a bit more shadow or something like that. That's all visual effects as well. And we don't just mean big CGI, crashy, bangy fights and stuff. Visual effects is a lot broader than all of that. It just can make it, because just tweaking the color slightly can change your mood when you're looking at the image, I think. So, you know, it can make you feel like, oh, that sea is so deep and crisp and clear, or that sunset is so orange and red or pink or whatever. It'll just deepen it and it might make you have slightly more of an emotional response.
Right. One time I took a class, it was called Color Fundamentals, and it basically taught you the color wheel. And in that class, I learned that so each of the primary colors, right? So you get red, orange, blue. Those are probably not the primary colors, but anyway, either the point is, right? Each shade of those colors is like invokes a different emotion, like connotation. Like light green, that could mean, you know, nature or something, grass. And blue, you could probably think of water or calm. You know, it invokes different emotions, and I think that's interesting. And one other thing, I wanted to say that, yeah, I don't think a lot of people know how things get created. And that's, like, between, like, movies and stuff, like, that takes a lot of effort. There's camera work, a lot of production, a lot of lighting, and a lot of just scheduling. Also with, like, art, anything with art, you know, they don't know the specifics, or even behind a podcast, right? They don't know how much a mic is, or the shock mount that comes with it, or the headphones. You know, it's like, it's a lot. And I feel like the people who aren't in an art field, they don't know just how artists create. And I'm hoping to change that.
It's good to talk about it, because I think in what I've listened to of your podcast, I don't think that has come up very much. But is that something that you sometimes get into? Is, because you said you journal, so do you talk about your process? Do you talk about what you're learning and what you try and what you feel at, what works and that sort of stuff?
Like in life, or?
A lot of artists would say it's all the same. So it's your artwork, but it's your life as well. So it could be both.
It's true. I don't currently. I should, now that I think about it, because I don't really describe my process, because I feel like nothing really changes. How do I say this? I don't feel like enough changes for me to warrant me talking about my process, no matter Sorry, I'm like really, I can get in my head and the words just don't come out. So it's like me describing my process. No, I don't think anyone's really interested in that, to be honest. It's just short answer. Yeah. Mm. Like no one asked me that. So I'm just like, why should I bring it up? Like, you know?
Yeah. Well, if I ask you now, can you give us a quick run through of your creative process? What would you say? How would you describe it?
Well, when I create something like visually, like graphic design, I just stare at the screen and then I close my eyes and then I think, what do I want to make today? Mm-hmm. What do I want to do? What can I do? First of all, let's make some layers, right? Let's put a splash of color. Let's make some shapes, you know? Let's look at the internet. Let's find some free images. Yes, that was the term. And let's just build something.
Hmm.
And let's be experimental with it. And let's just have fun with it. And when I get burnt out, I'm going to take a break. And I'm going to come back to it. So when I create art, I'm very meticulous. You know, some people spend several days working on a project. I do that as well. I feel like once you feel like you can't do anything more to it and you just feel that it's good enough to your taste, that's when you're finished. That's what I've learned about myself. I'm a very feel type of person. I can be logical, I guess. But most of the time, when it comes to creativity and art, I just have to feel it.
So you have a very intuitive approach to what you make.
Yeah. Whether it comes to anything, you know, when I feel like I've done enough, or maybe like when I feel that it's perfect, you know, even if it might not be perfect and nobody's perfect or nothing is perfect, it just to me, when I feel like I can't do anything more, and all my energy is just exhausted and I don't want to work on this anymore because I put all my love and creativity and just thought into it, then that piece is finished.
But, and it sounds like you've got a digital collage approach. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair.
Collage to me has always seemed like a very intuitive approach. I know, like I've been to collage workshops and people will really meticulously plan out what they're going to do before they stick anything down. And I just rampage in and I go, I'm going to put that there, put that there. And I'll just do something and I'll figure it out as I go, you know, and if I don't like something, I'll get something else to cover it over, you know, and I'll layer it rather than tear it apart or something. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wonder if your digital collage approach is something similar, but I suppose in digital, it's easy to just move and delete and that sort of thing. So, yeah. You know, what are the differences for you?
Between like physically and digitally? Yeah, convenience and ease. For digital, yeah, you can copy and paste so you don't have to like get two more sheets of paper, you know? So it's like, it's very easy with the simple keyboard click and the layers are just so easily manageable. And you can really adjust the colors. All in all, you just like it doesn't compare to the feeling of actually physically making a collage, which is like really therapeutic. But digitally, I feel as though it's just simpler and probably more either as or more time consuming because due to it being more easy or simple, you like spent more time, or this could just be me, like second guessing, was this right? Or should I do this or this instead, right? But at the end of the day, both are like trying to navigate out of a maze. Because when you reach a dead end, you're like, oh, wrong way. I guess I'll go the other way, you know? So don't trap yourself in a box, pretty much, basically. Oh, and in a collage, physically, you have scissors, I guess. So you don't use scissors. And actually, you can cut, I think, in digital or in Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take my word on that. I'll probably have to see that.
When you create something, do you just leave it then? Do you just leave it and move on to the next thing? Or do you ever go back to things and even just to look at them and go, what was going on with me that day? Is there anything in this? Or...
That is true. I like add it to my portfolio and I like to look at it sometimes and I'm like, that is some good artwork. You know, I'm my own biggest fan, and I I like that. Relating to what you said, yeah, that is interesting. What was I thinking when I created this? Most of the time, I don't create based on what I'm feeling. I create on like what I can make, what my skills at that level can create. As weird as that sounds for an artist, I feel like when you do different mediums, for me, when I do like graphic design, I'm not doing it based off emotion. I'm doing it based off of how cool can this look, you know? But like when it comes to like music, I feel like you can really get into your feelings, you know?
You told me before that you dabble in rap. So are you still doing that? Or you,
yeah, I'm still
are you
doing
making
that.
Me sing it? Yeah, so.
Still trying. Yeah, sorry. I just, sometimes I forget what I do. Yeah, I love rapping. I've grown up listening to hip hop and rap. Because, okay, so the reason why I love rap is not because of, well, initially I listened to it because I thought, you know, it'd make me cool, something shallow like that. But as I've grown up, I've really fell in love with the interest, like the skill of actually rapping. Like, forget the beat and the music for a second. Let's talk about the lyrics, you know? Lyrics can actually invoke a lot of emotion. And while you're rhyming, doing all these complicated rhyme schemes, that's crazy, you know? Rapping is difficult. But I love it so much because there's a payoff, you know? When you just go on beat to the music, it's almost as if you're floating in air because it's just that addicting. That, and there's so much like to learn from. There's so much content out there, and it's like with anything, you know, back to everything is connected. When you see a person at the top of their game, say who's really good at graphic design, okay, he doesn't do graphic design, but Van Gogh, okay, he has a great painting, Starry Night, okay? You're like, wow, that is amazing. Or Michelangelo, you know, and his, I can't even, that's so crazy. Like, the way they did art back then was at the top of their craft. And the rap artist in the game right now, like Eminem, like his lyrics, he's been doing it for over 30 years. His lyrics are so intricate and complicated. It's almost as though he just does it every day. He actually reads a dictionary just to come up with new words to rhyme. And that's crazy. That's dedication. And I love the skill aspect of it. I love the skill aspect of anything. That's why I like to try everything, because you never know what you might like. And I feel like the more you try everything, the more you do everything, the more well-rounded you become. And you become the best you can be. And everything like contributes to each other, right? So if you're good at podcasting, you edit your own audio, right? So then that gives you experience into like making videos and making the audio sound perfect for videos, right? And then when you have experience in video editing, right, you could probably edit music videos and films or TV, right? So everything's connected. Graphic design too, for album covers, for posters, movie posters, and books. You know, no one really thinks about books. No one, like, visually, when's the last time you read a book?
Well, I read quite a lot, but
good, yeah. Good, right? So it's like books, and rapping is connected to poetry, okay?
Yeah.
I firmly believe that, because poetry is just, or rapping is poetry in motion, right? It's rhyming. It can be rhyming, but it also cannot. And it's, everything is connected, is the what I'm trying to say. And yeah, that's true.
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, that point that graphic design is just everywhere now, you're absolutely right. Because I mean, book covers, it's absolutely, I mean, books are absolutely not dying. They're physical books are still very, very alive and well. And the covers are more and more interesting. And I think people in shops, when they're shopping for books online and in stores, were attracted to the covers more and more, I think, because they are more interesting and they're having to get more interesting to compete with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and more expressive uses of color and images and everything. The pathway that you're on, you've got so many options open to you. And it's really refreshing to hear that you're interested in lots of different things and you can appreciate that, yes, things all do connect up and that it's not everything has to be siloed off. And right, you're a specialist in that thing and that's all you do. Because certainly in my academic life previously, that's very much what it was like. It was like, well, you're the expert on that one thing, so you don't get to talk about anything else. But I know loads of stuff about lots of other things. Yeah. So, you know, it's really great to hear somebody certainly younger than me being interested in loads of stuff and, you know, using that and really going for it and trying out stuff. Because I think that's the ideal, is people need to be able to have goals at things to figure it all out, to figure out, who can I be? Who do I want to be? What do I love? What am I good at? And where do those things start to match up enough that I could maybe make a living out of something, you know? So yeah. It's great to see you hopefully on the pathway to that journey.
Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty much like an open book. I go with the flow, you know, whatever. It's also just nice to like, you know, have something to fall back on, you know, right? If you're just open about everything, you're interested in everything, you know, one field doesn't work out, then you go in another because you have experience in that field. It's all about having fun at the end of the day. And I do enjoy just learning everything. Fun fact, right? So my podcast used to be called Jordan Learns Everything, but I thought that was too long. So then I changed it to Jordan Mode. Fun fact.
Well, there's something in that. So Jordan Mode, mode is a type of average. It's a way of being. It can be a type of something, can be a way of doing something. It is an interesting title. And was it just that you felt the previous title was long and clunky, or why that particular word? What was it about that word that...
That's a great question. So basically, my initial thoughts was to start off, I was named after Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time. I firmly believe that. And I like, if you've seen him on the court, whether it's videos or whatever, he goes crazy. And that's why I think he's the GOAT. And I just thought that's Jordan mode, right? Like, okay. And plus I'm super competitive, right? So if you're on my team, we're going to win. So when I go crazy, I'm also going Jordan mode. So then those two aspects just like really brought out that title. And I thought it was just perfect.
That's very interesting.
There's a lot of meaning. I like to put meanings, like double meanings. I think that's where like my love of rap comes from, because in rap, there are lyrics that can have double or triple entendres, right? So I just started doing this recently, but every episode title is modeled after a rap song. It's something little like that, but I like to do those things because it's fun for me, you know?
The plays with language that happen, because you said earlier you did a class in speech, was it?
Yeah.
And yeah. Is language in general something that you think about? Do you speak other languages?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I speak Chinese. I am Chinese American. I speak Cantonese, and that's a different dialect from the main language, which is Mandarin. A lot of Chinese people speak Mandarin, but I speak Cantonese, which is like the language of the South. I've always been good at English growing up. I've always been like terrible at math. So I think that's played a part in just me being good at language arts, English, literature, reading. I've always loved that. My parents forced me to read. And at the time when I was younger, I was like, I don't want to read. But then now I'm thankful because it's given me so much valuable information and skill into the English language. Being able to differentiate, you know, different words like there, just being good at just communicating. What else was I going to say? Okay, not communicating right now. But, so, fun fact. Eminem also was really good at English growing up. So, I believe that reading and being good at English, that's going to level up your rapping skills. It really is all connected. And throw a bit of poetry in there. Write some poetry, you know, therapeutic experience. And I'm sorry, what was the initial question? I went off on a tangent, I feel
like. That's fine. Tangents are very welcome on this show because I usually can't remember where I've been either. So, yeah, I think I was asking just generally about language and because, it, you know, because you're dealing with visual languages as well in your artwork, then, you know, your interest in rap and, you know, just how loaded language can be in rap and poetry. And then I wondered if you spoke other languages. So, you know, that's really useful to hear because I think that just expands what you can do with language. In whatever language you're speaking, it can expand it because right. You can learn other ways of saying things in the other language, you know. So I'm really interested in hearing thoughts on that from bi or multilingual speakers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Also, when you're like bilingual, I don't think in Cantonese, though. I never think that. I only speak Cantonese when I'm with my family because they're Chinese. And so like day to day, I speak English because I was raised English, pretty much. I pretty much, in school, speak English, day-to-day, speak English. Only time I speak Chinese is, like, at my house with my parents. You gain a sort of appreciation for... You have, like, two different sides of thinking, almost, right? Yeah, and also, like, two different languages, like, more opportunities, you know? You can get by in a different country and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm a language learner rather than a multilingual person, just fumbling my way through other languages. So so I love hearing from people who've grown up bilingual or multilingual because I think you have a very different mindset, you know, and in my experience, when I know people who have that, they're maybe more open-minded about stuff. They are very creative and the way they can express things can just stop you in your tracks sometimes because it's a different way of thinking, I think.
Yeah.
The more Irish I learn to try and tap into that side of me, the more things just open out and there's a different understanding of a way of being, if that makes sense.
Right. It's also like you learn about the differences and similarities between your culture and both of them are your culture. So, for example, my Chinese culture and my American like upbringing, you can see the two sides, you interact with different people and you're just like, wow, we have two different ways of life. And that's not bad. It's just different. That's just interesting. And the cuisine, you know, when you have the food of each culture, you're like, wow, I know what I like and what I don't like.
Great. Well, you definitely like bananas.
Yeah.
Do you dress as a banana with your family ever?
No, nope,
that's not that side of you at all.
Nope.
Interesting.
I mean, I'd rather go out on the street and dress up as a banana than show them.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? We're a version of ourselves wherever we are. Isn't that it? We're always performing a version of ourselves in whatever situation we're in.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? It's like when you're in front of different people, you take out a version of yourself. For example, in front of your family, you act a different way than in front of your like closest friends or in front of a stranger, you know? It's interesting.
And I think the bolder things that we do, we're more likely to do it completely far away from our families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's easier to do it with strangers, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Jordan, is there anything we haven't touched on that you were really hoping to talk about today?
How's your day?
Do you know what? I've been doing a lot of editing today. So it was interesting that you brought that up earlier. I've been doing a lot of audio editing that is for to be patched onto a video. So that's what I've been doing all day and almost lost track of time. And it's a really fun, interesting project. So yes, that's what I've been doing. And I've been quite happy in my work. I did a couple of hours this morning and then I realized, you know what, I'm doing this wrong. There's a better way for me to do this. So then I started the edit from scratch and it's now going quite well. So that's my day.
I mean, that's good. At least you like found or you like, how do I say it? You found what you thought you were doing wrong and then you took action to find a solution to correct it and save more time. Because I feel like a lot of people, like, they're stuck in this routine, right? So they could be doing something, and this isn't just like for other people. This also includes me, because I have also been guilty of like doing the same thing over and over, when in fact I could have done something different to save time, right? I could have tried something new, right? And I don't know, that's just props, you know. That takes a lot to just be like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to try something different. Yeah, I think that's cool.
So, and you're just really starting your day, aren't you? Or you're in the East Coast, is it? So you're just in the early afternoon now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 1 p.m. right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you got big stuff on the rest of the day?
I'm probably just also going to edit.
Does the banana come off for the editing?
Yes, definitely. There's no way I can survive during the editing. I will actually die, you know?
So. Yeah. Well, I've really enjoyed speaking with you. It's been lovely to have just a really relaxed, interesting conversation and to see where it goes. And it's just been really good fun. And it's been definitely a unique experience visually for me. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Am I the first banana?
You're my first banana.
Yes.
Although I do have a friend who's an artist, and her nickname is Joanna Banana. So, but she didn't wear a costume for me.
Right.
She didn't wear a costume for me, Jordan. So you're my only literal banana.
Yes. Okay. Cool. All right. I mean, yeah. Thank you for having me on. It's been an absolute blast.
You're very welcome. And yeah, it's been lovely meeting you. And really good luck with all of your studies and everything you're working on.
Yeah. And you too. For the podcast.
Thank you.
Shout out the Audio Visual Cultures podcast.
Thank you. Yes. And do go and check out Jordan Mode, and I'll be linking to that in our show notes as well.
Awesome.
Thank you for tuning in to this Cozy Pea Pod production. If you got something out of this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could give us a good rating wherever you're accessing it, and share it with someone you know will find it really interesting. If early releases and bonus content sound appealing, visit patreon.com/AVCultures and join one of our support tiers. If you want to help the show but can't manage a membership, we'd love you to join the conversation with AV Cultures Pod on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. The music is Common Ground by Airtone, used under a 3.0 Creative Commons non-commercial license, and is available at ccmixer.org. I've been Paula Blair, and you've been a fantastic audience. Mind yourselves, until next time.